We'll continue with our series and about being a risk taker. And it seems like forever since we've been here, but you know, we talked about how we take risk every day living in the natural. And we don't think anything of it, but as soon as God asks us to do something, if you're like me, then we have these hesitations and we're not quite sure if we want to take that risk. And yet God's word says that if we're going to walk by faith, then we can't walk by sight. Now, we live in this world and we do see things, but God's encouraging us not to live just by what we see in the natural. We can tap into what's going on in heaven and the promises of God's word in his Bible and stuff. And so, you know, it's kind of ironic how we are that, you know, in the natural we're like, oh, this is no big deal. But then when God asks us to do something, we're like, oh, I can't believe he's asking me to do that. So we're going to see this morning that God expects us to be risk takers. I'll tell you where to turn in just a minute. We're not there yet. But we're getting close, so I'll give you time to find it. But in all actuality, when we take a risk and we step out in faith, it's not really a risk when we're stepping out in faith. Because we know God's going to be there. We know that even if we make a mistake in stepping out, that he's going to work it out for our good, because that's a promise that he has in his word. So really stepping out thinking that you've heard from God is not really that big of a risk. And yet in our mind, we think it is. It's a risk because it's different. Because it's not of this world. It goes against usually what this world says to do. And so because it's different, we're not used to it yet. But if we'll keep walking by faith, we'll get used to it more and more. So, and, you know, the truth is we're more used to walking by sight than we are by faith. So we have to work our way up to it. But we can do that, all right? And then we looked at James tells us that our faith is only real faith when everybody can see action involved with it. You know, we looked at this and it's easy to say that we have faith. It's easy to say that we believe, but God wants us to demonstrate that by the actions of our lives. Remember, we looked at this, Abraham, he was declared righteous. He was declared being in right standing with God. And it says, not by the things that he said, but by the things that he did. And it, I just want to remind you, it wasn't, I mean, he did it several times, but James says, it's when he offered his son Isaac up that that's when God knew that he had faith. And it wasn't when Isaac was conceived, which was a miracle in and of itself, at 90 and 100, that's a miracle. But it's when 13 years later or around there that him and Isaac go up and he's ready to offer him to the Lord, and God realizes he means business here. Abraham has faith. And we talked about the cloud of witnesses and all the men and the women of faith in the Bible. We know that they did something. There were actions associated with their faith. And so we know that they had real faith because of their action. To them, faith was more than words, more than going to church, more than going through the motions, more than having your checkoff list and checking them off. They demonstrated it. It's easy to say we have faith until we have to use it or operate in it. You know, and I touched on forgiveness a couple weeks ago. So it's easy to say we have faith to forgive someone until we have to forgive them, right? It's just kind of how we are. We want to have great faith for God, and then he says, okay, forgive that person who wronged you. Well, Lord, I don't want to forgive them right now. And I know forgiveness is a process. It's a decision, and it's a process. But, you know, it's amazing to me how we want to walk by faith, and yet faith will lead us to forgive, and yet we don't do it. We hesitate on it. So we have to ask ourselves, do we really have faith if we refuse to forgive? You don't have to answer that now. Is there actions associated with our declaration of faith? Because this is what it's about if we're going to say that we have faith and we're going to walk with God. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we say that we have faith and then we go to work and we see everybody else stepping on one another to climb the ladder and to get ahead. And God tells you, no, you can't do that. You have to be the best server. And we say, well, God, I don't want to serve. But then you step out in faith and you start to serve anyways. And then you start getting all these people who complain about you because they think that you're just trying to suck up and you're just trying to, you know, be goody two-shoes. And you know, so then you start wondering, well, this isn't going good for me when I'm serving all of these people. And you're doing it by faith, and yet all of these other people are coming against you because they think that you have a hidden agenda, and you do. You love God. You're walking by faith. You're trusting Him. And so you're serving these people. And so then God makes it a little bit more difficult when all these people come against you because He wants to know, are you going to serve them with a good attitude when everybody's coming against you? You know? And then you have to fight through the battle of, well, every time I go to work, I feel like I'm just nothing but a mat for them to wipe their feet on. Anybody been there? And if you don't like that, then you have to fight that in faith. Because you know what? You are going to be a doormat for Jesus one day. People are going to walk all over you. But when you're doing it because of your faith in Jesus Christ, then you'll get the reward for that. As long as you have a good attitude while you're doing it too. God's into attitudes, you know. He likes good ones. I mentioned a couple weeks ago about Enoch. And so I just want to bring this to you. Brian, I'm going to read verse 6 first of Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who exist or who seek Him. And so this is an awesome promise of God that we have of walking by faith. But it struck me because I went and looked at this that He said this right after He talked about Enoch. And so let's read verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And then let's read verse 6 in light of that, okay? So he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we know that Enoch walked by faith because he pleased God. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be pleasing to God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Now, here's the amazing thing about Enoch. You know what we know about him? Almost nothing. We don't know how he pleased God. We know that he pleased God because he walked by faith, because that's in the context of Hebrews chapter 11. But how it was demonstrated, we do not know. And we only have one other reference towards him that we can get an inkling about him, and is found in the book of Jude, verse 14. It starts there. It was also Jude 14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of His holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's what he prophesied. And it pleased God. I mean, I'm sure that there's more that he did, but this is the only thing recorded that we know of. He prophesied this. And if you go back and you read Jude, which I know you will do later today or tomorrow, and you see the context that he's putting this in, he's talking about those who are grumbling against the Lord, those who are mocking the Lord. And then he brings this in that Enoch said, and we don't know how, but then he concludes with this in verse 16, not concludes, but he brings this in verse 16 after this. He says, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. And so Jude is talking about how things are then. He talks about how Enoch prophesied against that generation. And then he brings it back to today, and he's talking about how they're doing it and how it's wrong. And this is the only understanding we have of the faith of Enoch. But whatever this and whatever else he did, it was so powerful. God was so pleased with him. It says that Enoch did not see death, that God took him up and he's with him. That's some faith. He pleased God that much. It was so powerful that God was so pleased with Enoch, he took him up. That's amazing. So Enoch was faithful to walk with God, and that is what God is asking of us today. And obviously, this is in a time when people weren't walking with God, and Enoch walked with God. There were things that were going on that were extremely evil, and yet Enoch remained faithful. Now, Enoch didn't get thrown into the fiery furnace. He didn't walk with the lions. He didn't walk on water, but he was a man of faith, and he was faithful. And so that ought to give us great hope as well. And I say all this because so many times we think God is looking for the big thing, the spectacular thing from us. And I want to encourage you. I think God is just looking for us to be faithful in the little thing. To walk by faith and do the things that he's asked us to do that don't seem to be that big, but they're big in the eyes of God. Now, it doesn't seem to me how Enoch was so faithful to God from what we understand, but he was. He had some demonstration of that faith, but he was faithful to follow God. And that is what is huge in God's eyes. You know, we in our own minds decide a lot of times what it looks like for us to have faith, and what it looks like for us to make God happy. And we think, oh, I'll just do this spectacular thing. And God says, no, why don't you just get on your knees and pray? Why don't you come up on the worship team and just worship as if you're worshiping me, and don't worry about what anybody thinks about you this time. Oh. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. You see, it's the little things that matter to God. He pays attention to them. He sees them. And, you know, I think concerning faith, that God is after us just being faithful and us bringing him an increase, that we increase the level of faith that we have. If you have faith just to make it to heaven, that's just salvation faith. But there's a faith that God desires from us, and he's looking from us. that we would grow that salvation faith and that we would be able to bring heaven down here to earth. And because God is looking to increase, I believe that he's desiring that there be an increase out of our lives of him to this world. And it starts with the little things. It starts with being willing to take a risk. In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, this is a familiar verse with us. Matthew 25, 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Everybody say his ability. Then he went away. Verse 16 says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So I want to reread that verse, and I want to throw something in, okay? He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, risking. He was risking those 5 talents that God had given him. He risked them. And he made 5 talents more. So also, the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. So he risked things as well. If you're going to walk by faith, you have to be willing to risk. Verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. I want to read this again. Okay? And then I'll put in something. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid. No risk. No risk. And I want us to think about something. When you're hiding, I want us to think from now on, when I'm hiding, I'm not walking by faith because I'm not risking. When God asks you to step out and you decide you're not going to step out and you decide that you're going to be hide or you're going to hide behind whatever that excuse is, I want you to, in your mind, think, okay, I'm hiding so I'm not risking. So I can't be walking by faith. Woo! Aren't you glad you came this morning? I am. Now, and I want you to remember this. They all had equal ability because he says according to their ability. So he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. But they all had ability, you know. They all had it. They each had the opportunity to take risk. 2 decided to take risk. 1 decided not to. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Isn't that what we want? And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24, he also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. But say afraid. And can I put in there, no risk? He's afraid, so he didn't take a risk. And isn't this amazing what he's going to say that he did? Because he was afraid, because he was not willing to take a risk. Listen to this. And I went and hid your talent. How easy it is to hide it, dig out a place for it, keep it nice and safe so that nobody bothers it. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. It's not good. When the Lord calls you wicked and slothful, that it's not good. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money. Invest it means what? You have to take a risk. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, which means that you're taking more of a risk. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. And I just want to change the word interest, if I can, with increase. And so we have to look at our lives and we have to say, okay, God, what have you given me? And how can I work this so that there's an increase for you when my life is done? Wow. And then it gets worse. Verse 28, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we have a decision to make. And, you know, I just want to encourage us because we don't necessarily go and dig a hole and place it in there, but in our minds, we compartmentalize and we try to keep things hidden. And we don't operate in the fullness that God has for us. And yet he's looking for an increase. He's looking for more from our lives than us just saying, whew, made it into heaven. I mean, our desire should be, God, I'll do whatever it takes to get as much of heaven to earth as possible. And yet, we're content to hide what he's given us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 18. Jesus has just given a parable about the sower. And so now he's responding to it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So he had four different grounds. First one was the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, I don't think he cares so much about what the increase is as to the fact that we're bringing him an increase. Because he said he'll 100, 60, 30, it's okay. He's looking for increase. And if it's going to be on good soil, that means that you have to work at it. Good soil doesn't just happen on its own. Okay? You have to tend to it. You have to work at it. And so if we're going to bring an increase to God, then we're going to have to work at it. So, is there a reason? Is there an excusable reason for us not offering to God an increase in the faith that he's given us, in the life that he's given us? No, there isn't. We have to come to that. And I don't have time to think or go into it much today, but I just want to encourage you. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so we ought to be able to give him an increase in anything that he has placed within us. We have the ability. We have the ability to bring an increase of what God desires for our lives, of walking out with God our lives by faith. I'm going to close with two things here. And this is about increase. And when I saw this in this light, it just, anyways, here, are you in Matthew chapter 5? I'll give you a minute to turn there. But God is looking at increase in our lives. And so there should be a demonstration of increase in our lives. And then you're going to ask me, well, what does that increase look like? And we'll let the Bible define it, okay? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus makes this declaration to the world, but in particular to us. He says, Matthew 5, 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." What did the one person who received the one talent do? He went and he hid. And he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." In other words, he said, he doesn't want us to be hidden in this world. He wants our light to be shining. Verse 15, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." So he's saying, look, you have a light. I don't want you to just keep it for you, but everybody in your household ought to be able to be greater and better because of the light that is shining in your life, in your house. Okay? And then he goes on. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, if there is going to be an increase in our faith, because we are willing to take risks, then there needs to be an increase of good things that we do in this world for others to be able to see and take notice and say, you know what? That's different. You go to work and everybody else is worried about climbing that ladder and you're just happy to be the servant and everybody doesn't understand you. It's okay because you're letting your light shine. It may not seem like that at the moment, but that's what you're doing. And your Father is going to see that and He's going to reward you for it. Because faith believes that not only does God exist, but He rewards those who seek Him diligently. When it's said in here that it can't be hidden or God doesn't want it, God takes no pleasure in us when we hide. When we hide behind our pain, our fear, our comfort zone, or whatever it is that we reason in our own minds that we cannot step out in faith and take that risk, even if it means being misunderstood. Because really, that's the thing that keeps us from stepping out in faith is we don't know how other people are going to perceive us. We don't know if they're going to understand what we're doing. Who cares? Get over it. There ought to be an increase in our faith. There, just like this increase in light, it ought to be there. In verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Don't hide it. Don't bury it. Don't cover it up. Let it be known so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God is expecting an increase in our lives, in the light that shines out from us. And so we have to ask, how do we let our light shine? By doing good works, giving glory to God. And that means we have to do something. It takes action. You can't do good works sitting on your couch, sitting on your chair, dreaming about all the good things that you desire to do, but you don't ever do them. Good intentions aren't what God is after. There's so many believers that have such great intentions, but they're not any good. Because intentions don't get you up. They don't get you off your chair, out of bed. They don't get your dishes done. They don't raise your children. Good intentions aren't any good with no action behind them. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, here's a simple way to understand this. Don't go to work tomorrow and don't take your personal days or your sick days and see if there's an increase in your pay. I guarantee if you don't go to work, there'll be a decrease in your pay. Unless you're retired. Thank God for the retired people. Increase means we have to do something. There has to be action. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, it says this, and we read this a while back, Hebrews 12, 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, speaking of our natural fathers. But He, God, disciplines us for our good. Look at this, that we may share His holiness. I bring this up because if we are going to say that we are going to be a people of faith, then there has to be an increase of holiness in our lives. His holiness in our lives. How do I say that? Because this is all about, this is Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11, which is all about faith. And chapter 12 doesn't change the context or the subject. It's still all about faith. He just brings in a little bit of discipline. And he says that this ought to occur, that if we handle discipline right, that there will be an increase in His holiness in our lives. And so I just want to tell you, if there's an increase of faith in our life, then there has to be an increase of holiness in our life as well. And you say, well, Pastor, you're taking an awful big step. No, it's right here. Verse 12, Hebrews 12, 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness. For what? For holiness. Because he says this about holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so in our faith, if we're going to be increasing in our faith, if we're not going to hide it, we're willing to take risk. We're willing to step out and take that risk. Then there needs to be an increase of his holiness in our lives. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without holiness, you can't even see him. Stand with me if you will, please. Why is our personal holiness so important? Why does it have to increase? Because true holiness is a result of an increase in our faith walk, of our willingness to step out in faith. We say that we have faith, then there needs to be an increase in the good things that we do, that God would be glorified in them. And as we do those good things, there will be an increase of holiness in our lives, and we will see more of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Take the risk. Take the risk. And I want to encourage you again. When you are coming to that place and you think, I'm just going to hide, and however you think you can hide, I'm just going to hide what God has given me. Realize you're not walking by faith. You're hiding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us, and we thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that you're raising up a generation. You're raising us up, Father, to be men and women, young adults, youth, children of faith, that we are a people who walk by faith and not by sight, that we're going to take risk. We're not going to hide what you've given us. We're not going to hide the light. We're not going to hide the talents. We're not going to hide your giftings in our lives. We're going to be faithful to be good stewards over them. Thank you that you've prepared us for that. That the world would see you in us, by the increase of good things that we do, and by the increase of your holiness in our lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Go increase.